Hello there. This is episode 209 of a Sort of Star Wars podcast. And in this episode, we will be celebrating the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. We'll take a closer look at all the parts of the movie revolving around anyone who is not Luke, Vader, or the Emperor. So, let's do it.
This is where the fun begins.
Wrap it up, fuzzball.
I feel the force.
Welcome back to a Sort of Star Wars podcast, the podcast that's sort about Star Wars and sort about everything else. And today is all about Star Wars, and we have a special guest today, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I almost said your last name, but for HIPAA privacy purposes, okay. I didn't.
Okay. Thank you. I prefer to be anonymous.
Yes.
Safely.
Especially if we're doing surgery.
Okay.
Which we don't plan to.
Okay.
I don't mean to. Okay. So today we are going to talk about Return of the Jedi. Because
yes.
It is the 40th.
Crazy.
Anniversary. You remember when it came out?
Almost.
You were... Not born yet. What year were you born?
85.
85. So, yeah.
Nope, it was minus two.
Yes. Working up to it. But yes, we're talking about Return of the Jedi. And I said that we were going to do two episodes on this movie. And in my mind, there's two kind of stories that are happening. Three, technically, but two, in my mind, there's the like Luke, Vader, Emperor, the Force story.
Sure.
And then the Muggle story.
The Muggle story. That, yes, I like that.
Yeah. And so even though Princess Leia is part of the Muggle story, but whatever. Yeah. She doesn't know that she's not a Muggle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She's still living in the human world.
Yeah.
She didn't get her letter.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's delayed. You ever
it's
get annoyed?
In the mail.
You ever get annoyed watching Harry reach for all the letters in the air when there's like 40 at his feet?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, there's a lot about those movies, at least the first two that you could pick apart.
Yes. And also a lot about Star Wars that you could pick apart. But sure. Have you ever watched the despecialized, the pre-specialized version of these movies?
I don't think so, because I think, well, maybe the first time we watched it, if you remember, we watched them for the first time when we were, had just moved here to Lancaster. Mm-hmm. And... That would have been pre-99, 98, because that's the specialized versions of VHS,
right.
Like the three pack or whatever, the trilogy came out, and that's when they did some of those updates.
Right.
So we would have watched it before then.
Did we?
So
I was remembering that we got it from like Blockbuster or something, because I was remembering like mom and dad, like we watched one and then we had to wait a while before we watched the second one.
Yeah, I think we watched them fairly close together, but yeah, we did have to wait. So we would have rented them
right.
from Blockbuster, because
yeah.
that's the only way you could have watched them
or
at that
A
time.
To Z Video or Video Inc. maybe.
Yeah, one of those.
Remember,
yeah,
there's so many of them.
Whatever was in Mountjoy or yeah. So
yeah, I don't really remember. I have a copy of the not specialized ones, and watching this one, I was like, oh, I should like watch the non-specialized version of this,
yeah,
because it's been so long since I've watched the non one. I don't even remember what's new about this one, so it'd be interesting to see what the differences are. But on this episode, we're going to focus on the Muggle story, the non-force users, basically Han and his crew, Lando, his crew, you know, that sort of like I'd call it like the what do they call them, not a task force, but like the team that's like actually doing the work,
right?
Really, because I got to the end of the movie and I'm like, was Luke necessary? What did Luke do during this that did anything for the rebellion? The only time he goes to do anything with the rebellion is when he's in the shuttle And maybe we should save this for our Luke focus podcast. But we could talk about it more on that one. But I did get to the end of the movie and I'm like, what did Luke even contribute to this? I feel like everything would have happened as it did without him. So that was interesting to think about.
Yeah, it actually in some ways could have been more successful if you think about how it played out. But I also think there's a lot of important things that he did do that wasn't necessarily rebellion related, but it helped the rebellion by what he was able to do with the leaders of the empire. Because I think, you know, ultimately the point of destroying the Death Star was to have the Emperor on it.
Right. So the Emperor wouldn't have come to the Death Star if Luke wasn't on it.
Well, the Emperor was already on the Death Star when Luke came to it. And
right, but I thought that the Emperor... Let's save this for hors d'oeuvres for next episode.
Okay, yeah, we'll hash that out episode.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the other people's story.
Yeah.
Because I felt like theirs was more of the rebellion story.
Yeah, I would agree.
And it's interesting to watch it and try to exclude Luke. He's part of it. Like, I was trying to like actually be like, okay, this part involves Luke. I'm not thinking about this part, you know, but there was a lot of overlap. It wasn't until like halfway through the movie that they actually got separated. And it was like after they were almost burned at the Ewok village and they were freed and he left and found Yoda. I'm losing track. But anyways, coming back to like the main crew here. Mm-hmm. So it starts off with them pretty much one by one coming to Jabba's palace.
Right.
And I was like, was that all the plan? Were they all supposed to be captured by Jabba?
I had the same thought. The movie opens with C-3PO and R2-D2 going to Jabba's palace and bringing the message from Luke.
Right.
Which makes sense. And you find out that Chewbacca and Lando have already come to Tatooine and disappeared, you know? Okay. So that's what C-3PO is like said that they never heard back from them.
Oh, he says that? Oh,
yeah.
I missed that. Okay.
And so like, you know, that there's some of that going on and it's like, and then soon after, R2-D2 and C-3PO bring the message from Luke and everything, and then they start to party after that. You know, they find out that the droids are a gift,
right?
You know? But then,
and that poor Twi'lek girl, like everyone's like dancing, and then all of a sudden, like her like chain is getting pulled on. And I never ever understood what was happening there.
Was
she not dancing the right way, or like Jabba's like upset at her all of a sudden?
Right. Does she know that he's pulling her to the spot? And so like, she's trying to avoid it. I don't know. I agree. It's like she's dancing. She's doing what everybody else is doing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like Jabba's like,
yeah, he's like, the Rancor's hungry.
Yeah. Time to feed. So.
Yeah. Then Leia brings Chewie there.
Well, and that's what I wonder too. Like, is Leia part of the plan? Because I don't know that Luke would say, hey, you're going to become a sex slave for Jabba.
Right. You know, right.
But
thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for fulfilling, you know, a whole generation of men's dreams. You know, I don't know.
So a bounty hunter brings Chewbacca to the palace.
Right.
We find out later that is Leia in that outfit.
Right.
When that is Leia, they move the thing moves totally different. Like,
what thing?
When whatever that thing is that Leia is in the costume of.
Okay.
Like whatever creature that is.
Okay.
I was gonna say he or she, I don't know what it is. So the bounty hunter brings in Chewbacca. Then later that same bounty hunter comes back after hours.
Right.
And it's Leia. But she moves totally different as Leia than she does when she's there with Chewbacca.
Okay.
So I she speaks whatever language that thing speaks, to the point where C-3PO is translating.
Right.
So my question is, does C-3PO know that it's Leia and he's fake translating her gibberish? Or is it not Leia when she brings Chewbacca in. And then later, Leia's like, oh, here's my inn. I'm going to kill this bounty hunter. Take his suit. It fits me perfectly. That's great. And then I'll go in. You know what I mean? Because you don't hear her talk. Or she speaks English. Like, yeah. She doesn't ever say anything in.
That's an interesting question. I've always assumed from the very beginning that the bounty hunter was Leia.
Right.
Like, when she comes to Jabba's palace for the first time and everything, that it's Leia.
Right. I feel like, yes, that makes sense. But how does she know this language?
Well, I think it would be part, I feel like, I mean, you're in a fictional world with a lot of technology to be able to say English and have it translated through a voice box.
Yeah.
Which, just kind of a side note, did you notice that whenever she comes into the... to get Han later on.
Yeah.
And they pull a screen back. One of those guards, those like cow looking or, you know,
the Gamorrean guards. Yeah.
Yeah. Has his hand over C-3PO's mouth. Like, you know, like,
oh,
you
really?
Do, yeah. To, you know, mute or muffle somebody speaking.
Right. Yeah.
And I've seen that happen like three other times in Star Wars to droids, which I think is...
It just happened in the Ahsoka series.
I just thought that was so... I feel like that's so funny that you can muffle a droid at their mouthpiece. Like,
I guess there's a speaker there.
Yeah.
It'd be like putting your hand over a speaker.
I guess there's just one of those things where it's like...
But it wouldn't keep them from talking.
Right.
The noise would just be muffled.
Yeah.
It's not like... You would just hear it less. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like a regular voice.
Right.
But it's like... But every time they do it, it's like muffled. Like,
right.
You can't move your lips or something.
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't know. I just think that that's kind of an interesting. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that when she gets there, they're all sleeping. They're not there. Like, if you look, when she's coming in down the steps to the left, there's just a group of people sleeping.
Right.
And she comes in and she knocks the wind chimes and she like creeps across and then she lets that thing, there's like. You know, while it's like melting.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and she's like looking around. I'm like, there's no way that doesn't wake somebody up.
They were drunk, Ryan.
Okay.
Except for Jabba, who knew somehow that
song put them into a slumber.
Yeah.
So that was the part that I was like, oh, okay, this was added CGI. Like when the lady with like the long lips.
Right.
She like sings right into the camera. I remember that being added in.
Yeah.
And even that, is that guy, is he completely new? Like he wasn't there at all? Or did they like make him? I remember like seeing like in the behind the scenes, like here he is like all green. And then here he is with like one layer and then like, like show how he looks, you know, when they were editing him.
That's a good question. Like you said, like there's some things that it's just like, okay, there had to be something. It feels like there had to be something there. Did they really add a whole line? And did they really add all of those words that she sings too? The long lips woman thing.
Right.
You know, like, so like, yeah, was that?
Cause I remember them
like,
talking
about. Was it just
like,
music before?
Yeah. I think she was there, but she didn't do like singing into the camera thing.
Yeah,
and I just don't remember him being there, but I remember them like showing like the saliva coming out of his mouth when he's like, you know, singing. But
yeah,
was it 98 the special edition or 99?
I thought it was. I said 98 or 99 earlier.
I think that's right.
I think it was 99 because I thought it came out with a lot of the marketing material that came out with the Phantom Menace.
Okay, and they came back to theater for that. I think they came back to theater. When the special editions came out.
Maybe. I mean, I would say at that point in time, we were not nearly as deep into Star Wars as we are now.
But so that's when Phantom Menace came out in 99.
Right. Yeah. I really feel like for you and I, like, we'll probably watch them in like late 98, early 99, the original trilogy.
Okay.
And then like we really kind of got into it.
We got the fart box for Christmas.
The fart box.
Oh, yeah. The gold and black box. I talked about this on the last episode, last week's episode. You like pull it apart and it goes.
Oh, yes. You know? Yes. Yes.
Didn't we get that for Christmas?
Yeah, but I think that was the same year. I think that was. I remember getting that at our house on Marietta.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would have been 99.
Oh, you think we watched the movies at the farmhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have said we watched them at the house of Marietta.
I'm pretty sure we watched them at the farmhouse. I'm pretty sure we watched the special editions.
Okay.
But no, we watched the special editions at Marietta.
Okay. Yeah, so they all end up at Jabba's palace, and but it's just like,
I was just going to say, like, yeah, what was the actual plan for them to end up in Jabba's palace?
Right. It was convenient that they all were there.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like any of them really was like a leader or, you know, created a plan. It's just kind of like they were all doing their own thing, and they just all ended up there together.
Yeah, but it would have had to be like Luke been like, okay, I'm going to send the droids first, and then I'm going to send Leia and Chewie. And C-3PO is going to be there, so he can fake translate for you, and then you'll stay there. Like,
so you think that C-3PO is fake translating?
He's either fake translating or what she's saying is coming out.
Okay,
but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really don't believe it was Leia, but it makes sense if Luke's like, okay, I'll send these people, then I'll send these people, and then I'll come and I'll save everybody. But it seems like he could have just gone at some point and just taken Han.
Right.
Like, and they didn't have to thaw him out there.
Right.
Like, they hover, right? Like, that's the thing with those carbonite things. He just could have, like, hovered it out.
Right.
I feel like, but...
Well, and why didn't Leia hover it out?
Right.
And why did she, like, drop it down? Yeah, and
It was actually harder to transport as a blind, like, right. like half-crippled guy. Right. You know what I mean? It would have been easier to transport him out in the carbonite.
Right.
But
you have carbonite sickness.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, so then they all end up at the Dune Sea, and we get that force kick by Luke.
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty good.
The first force kick.
Yeah. Luke, or Mark Hamill, it wasn't that long ago that someone had asked him about it, I think on Twitter, and he said it was a force kick.
Did he?
But, yeah.
I love how much Mark Hamill has leaned into him being Luke, you know, and... Even him being the voice of the Joker in the Batman animated series, like, I just love how he just loves being a part of this nerd culture.
Right.
You know, whereas like you have guys like Harrison Ford, who's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like when you have these interviews and he's like,
no, he's like, I didn't even want to be in the second movie. I told them to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, great. We love you. Thanks, Han Solo.
You're my favorite.
Like, thanks for bashing the movie that made you so famous.
Yeah.
Like, but Indiana Jones was post this, and that helped a lot. But
yeah,
I think about that a lot, what you're saying a lot with, like, the sequel trilogy actors.
Okay.
For some, like... Any interviews that I see with them, now that the sequel trilogy is over, it just seems like they have, like, oh, yeah, Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi was so bad or whatever. I knew Mark Hamill was really upset with The Last Jedi with Luke's arc, but he has said in interviews, is like, it's like, I didn't write the story. Like, I can't, that's, like, the story is Star Wars. Like, I could be upset with it, but that's just my story.
You know, I've also appreciated some of the other comments I heard him say where it's like, I also spent time putting this character together and creating this person. You know, like you can hear the ownership that he has. And I feel like that needs to be, that wasn't used to the extent I would have hoped, maybe.
Right.
You know, like I feel like you have this huge source of information, you know, and I felt like J.J. Abrams was just like, yeah, I'm doing whatever I want.
Right.
So, well, anyway, that we're kind of.
Ryan Johnson in the second. But yeah.
Well, I mean, in both of them, I feel like, you know, like. Like who? Like when The Force Awakens came out, I think we were perfectly happy with Rey being a Padawan-esque person.
Right.
I think there was even some hope that she would be something like Ahsoka Tano. You know, like somebody that could kind of, you know, learn how to develop under Luke. But then Luke shows up in the last minute of the movie.
Right.
And it's like,
and then like we were so excited to see him. She's like handing the lights over. We were so excited to see him in The Last Jedi. But his arc wasn't that different from Yoda's in the original trilogy. Like, it was pretty similar. Like, he taught a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Padawan is like, I'm really good. You know what I mean? Like, Luke goes, like, I'm going to fight Vader, the most powerful Sith in the galaxy. You know what I mean? And then he comes back and, like, just like Yoda, Luke was like helping Rey even after she had her defeat. So similar arcs.
Yeah.
But we bash Luke in the sequel trilogy because we wanted him to be something like spectacular.
Yeah.
But really, he's more the Yoda. Yeah. But anyways, coming back to Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Where were we? I don't remember.
Talk we're at the Dune Sea. We got the Force kick, and then we get to see the Sarlacc pit in its CGI glory.
Right, with the beak. They added the beak.
Added the beak and some tentacles. And,
And that's where Boba Fett dies. And that's where Boba Fett falls into the Sarlacc pit.
Right.
It's so funny to me to think about how limited screen time he had.
Yeah.
And how unimpressive overall he was.
Right.
But like, all you need is a jetpack and a cool helmet. And like, we're going to make this whole, like, think of all that has come from that.
Right.
Like, all the Mandalorian stuff. I mean,
he also had a decent showing in Empire.
What did he do?
He was the only one that was able to track Han and what he was doing.
Right. I mean, him and Vader set up this nice dinner. You ever seen those memes where it's like Vader set up this really nice dinner for everybody and then they come in and they shoot right away? Yeah. But yeah, I just like the amount of like fandom around Boba Fett, and like in this movie he really does almost nothing except get hit in the jetpack and fly into the the skiff or whatever and just go down, and like man, that's like somebody's like, oh man, let's make a whole thing about him. I mean, there's a little more about him in like the holiday special.
Okay.
There's a decent portion with Boba Fett in it. But it wasn't anything like, but like there was no talk of Mandalorians before.
Right.
Like I guess those came out in Clone Wars. I mean, I don't even know really, but like that was the only Mandalorian we knew of
right
at that time. But yeah, it's just like crazy the amount of people that loved Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. And it is such a short-lived character in this.
So my question for you, because this came up when I was watching it. I watched it on Disney Plus, so I know they can throw things in there whenever they feel like it.
Right.
So on his shoulder guard, there was the Mandalorian decal, like with the I'm blanking on the animal.
Mythosaur.
Yeah, the Mythosaur.
Yeah.
Is that original, or is that something that they put in after the fact?
I think that's original.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it had, I'll say it this way, it looks too pretty or too perfect.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I don't know that everything was created, you know, for the Mandalorian and everything, but it just made me wonder because there are a lot of those times where it's like, okay, what was original?
It's
been changed so many times, but
but I do like that scene.
I think the one scene around that where you just talk about, you know, falling into the Sarlacc pit and you're saying where Han goes, oh good, I love a quick death.
Right.
And then, you know, C-3PO talks about, you know, your suffering.
You're digested over 1,000 years or whatever.
And then everyone's like, oh, I was like, what does it matter? You're going to die in 3 days without water anyway.
Yeah,
like, it's like your sufferings are going to be only as much, like, unless
they're feeding you water as well.
Right. It's like,
right.
So I was like, it doesn't really matter. So
I like that part where Han and Luke are together in Jabba's palace and Han's like, how we doing? He's like, same as always. Yeah. He's like, that bad, huh? Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. They haven't had a string of good luck.
Well, and it just, that part did remind me a little bit of some of the things that they tried to do in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and as much as you and I have discussed whether we like it or not, there are some of those scenes where there was some good banter that went back and forth.
Especially with C-3PO. Like, I feel like there's so many good lines around him in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And like, I disliked him so much in the rest of the series. Like, other than Rise of Skywalker, I do not like C-3PO.
Yeah.
I just recently rewatched A New Hope, and I'm like, he is so annoying. He's like the only one that talks for like the first half hour of the movie.
Right.
And like, he is just so annoying to listen to.
Right. And but, like in Empire, where it's like, turn around.
Yes. Yes.
Because he's being carried by Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's,
yeah. Yeah. So. So shortly after that, they, how do they find out that, where are they going to Endor? I forget. Oh, that's where they find out where the Death Star is, and it's over the Forest Moon of Endor, right?
Right. That's where the Bothans.
Oh, yes. The Bothan spies.
Yeah.
Brought to us by the Bothan spies.
Yeah.
Many Bothans died.
I was thinking, again, to kind of compare this to some of the things that often get bashed in Rise of Skywalker, and I was one of them, because I do think it's just lazy, is just to say, somehow Palpatine returned.
Right.
But they really don't explain how they figured out that there was a second Death Star being built.
Right.
So
just the Bothans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and again, the same way to destroy it.
Right.
Well, it feels very much like it's the same way to destroy it as it was before. It's like, really? Did the engineers not learn anything? Like,
the only
Jyn Erso, like, again, they're like, Jyn, we'll give you, or not Jyn,
Galen.
Galen, we'll give you a second try.
Yeah. Don't put any special little hatches in there. But it was, my only explanation for that was that this one wasn't completed. So they could go into it because it was not completed yet.
Yeah, you're, but
it was
true.
It was fully operational. Yeah.
Battle station.
<Yeah. laughs> The power. Yeah, so they have to go to Endor, and that's really where they split up. They land and they talk to the Ewoks. Like, they, how do they, how does Leia get separated? I honestly, oh, her and Luke are on the speeders, and Leia gets knocked off of hers and explodes, whatever. So she finds Wicket, the Ewok.
Okay.
That's his name.
Does he, is it a credited title or credited?
Yeah, it is. Wicket is played by Willow. Who's that guy?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know who you're talking about, but I can't think
of that. Warren.
Warwick Davis.
Warwick.
Something like that.
Yeah. Whoever that is.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that guy plays Wicket. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, Wicket can't communicate. You know, he's like, oh, a human. Oh, what's a helmet? You know, but we
want. Scary.
But me and Molly, like, because we make bad choices, watched the Ewok adventure movies.
Okay.
And Wicket talks English in those movies. and they're before this.
Oh, okay.
The Ewok movies take place before this, and they're both talking English. They like know how to like operate guns and welders and stuff like that. And like they're like just communicating fine, and they know what all this tech is. And then Leia lands and they're like scared of everything.
Maybe, you know, like there are parts of the Ewoks. Like maybe they're, this is like they landed in like the Australian outback where there's the, like the indigenous people that are still very much part of the.
But Wicket is the same one in all the movies.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe.
I did look it up because I'm like, why does Wicket not talk? And people are like, oh, he's pretending like he doesn't know so that they don't think they're like hostile or whatever, or that they don't.
I'm the
like,
whole time?
Like, yeah, the entire movie? Like,
like that's commitment.
Yeah.
That's like, who's the bad guy from Superman?
Zod?
No, like his.
Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, who's his dad? Like Miles.
Oh, Lionel.
Lionel Luthor.
He pretends to be blind.
Yeah, for like four seasons.
Yeah. And then he knows that he's lying because he doesn't keep his finger in the cup as it's being filled. Do you remember that? Blind people?
Oh,
like
yeah.
When they're filling a cup, they'll put their finger in so they know when it's close to the top.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. So Lex threw a cue ball at him or a billiard ball at him and he dodged it, I think.
Gotcha. So that's how Michael Rosenbaum figured it out.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to that podcast?
No.
Small Talk? I forget what it's called. Ville Talk? Smallville? Something? Anyways, it's the two of them going from like episode to episode talking about them.
Okay.
And it's just him and Tom Welling.
Okay.
And it's just, I've caught like things here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting to hear.
Anyway, sidetracking us again.
Yes. So Wicket can talk. He refuses to. And how do you feel about the Ewoks?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. In general, what's your feeling of the Ewoks? Like people, I feel like either like, oh, they're so cute and jelly. Like, oh, I hate them so much. They're like stupid and
I go back and forth. I think there's, you know, it was a convenient like storytelling, you know, mechanism. I think it was a really unique way to try to show that it doesn't matter if you have all the technology in the world, you can still be confounded by rolling logs and, you know, right. rolling and swinging logs, mm-hmm. you know.
And just like moderate sized rocks hitting you in your helmet.
Right.
Could just like, you're knocked out eternally.
I don't know why they have helmets at all.
Or armor of any yeah, sort. Yeah. They're literally anything. Hitting them with sticks.
I know.
And they're like, oh no. Like, wow. But
so, I know. So I can appreciate that part of it where it's like, okay, you know, if you have, you know, spirit and gumption and right. you know, you can kind of overcome these, you know, huge, you know, hurdles against you or whatever. But
I think the only thing, oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I don't feel very strong. I do think like one of the more poignant moments of the whole movie is when they have this scene where they're losing,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and everybody like, you know, and the two Ewoks have an explosion behind yeah. them. And then you see the one, you know, trying to get his friend to come.
Right.
And you realize that he's dead.
Right.
And like that always got me a little bit right. in the feels, yeah. you know,
like they so, are like, it feels like kind of like fun and funny kind of like,
yeah.
you're like beating them with like slingshots and stuff. And right. then you're like, oh, and well, there are Ewoks dying in this battle.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not just fun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it just felt, that was one of the few times where a death in Star Wars felt very up close and personal.
Yeah. Cause you felt like there was such innocence in the Ewoks.
Right.
And they're trying to help the good guys. And
right.
I think the thing that might be missing for me a little bit is why the Ewoks were so, were they only helping the humans because C-3PO was a deity to them?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, I think, nice or good in the storytelling for them to like show maybe like a stormtrooper, like it could have been like a minute and a half of stormtroopers like raiding one of their camps or some yeah. or villages
yeah.
or something, that like a reason for them to hate the Empire,
right,
or to be like, oh yeah, you guys, we can work together, and we're not just gonna help you fight your battle, like this, we're working for our freedom too, you know,
right.
It's just a little bit, I think, felt like it would have gotten a little bit different story.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. I never really thought of it that way, where they just kind of, I kind of always worked under the premise that they followed them because they were with C-3PO, who they thought was their god.
Right.
You know, so like they just blindly trust
right.
whoever's with him.
Right.
But
right.
I get what you're saying, that there could also be a reason that they want to help them against stormtroopers or the right. Empire because of, you know, like things that have happened. Like they had to build that big base,
right?
You know, I'm sure that they,
right,
we could have had a Avatar scene.
I was gonna say, it's like Pandora and
yeah.
you know,
home tree humans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So but maybe a little bit of a missed opportunity by George. But
can I also ask, you just said something that made me think, Empire is all humans
except for Thrawn.
Okay, yeah, I mean, but he's about
humanoid. Yeah.
See,
but like that was,
he's
like
a human with blue skin.
Yeah. But that was like a thing, like the Emperor does not like non-humans.
Yeah.
And it was like, especially in positions of power, I remember in the Heir to the Empire series,
okay,
they talk about that, I think, and it was that one, that it was very unusual for somebody who is like Thrawn to be, mm-hmm. especially in a position of power,
okay,
when he's a Grand Admiral.
Yeah.
He was the only, definitely the only non-human Grand Admiral. I was thinking that there weren't any non-human Imperial people at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Not, no one that I know of, anyways.
Yeah.
And most of them have British accents, so they're very, they're very specific.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we want Earthlings from this continent. That's who we want to be on our...
We want Earthlings from Britain because they know how to
yeah.
try to conquer the world.
And it's not only just humans, it's like white males.
Right.
I think in later...
Except in the for first, the clone troopers.
Right. Yeah. That's true. But later...
But they were more like slaves. And they were, I mean, right.
They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, and they were like indispensable in the same right. way a droid was. Right. So...
Yeah. I guess, was it just the First Order that had females? I can't remember in Return of the Jedi if there was any females on the cruise at all. I can't picture any.
But. I don't think there was. I think, yeah. And you go if you go to the sequels, then you have Darth Maul, but would you say he's part of the Empire? Or oh yeah, prequels, yeah. Sorry. I would say he's not necessarily part of the Empire, more so he's part of a Sith. He's part of the Sith, which I think that's something, too, that you want to talk about here, but like... The Empire, in some ways, is synonymous with the Sith, and that's not the case.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Because even, I guess everyone knew about Darth Vader during the Empire. Yeah. I was gonna say even when Palpatine was rising, nobody even knew that the Sith existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one book that I read, Plagueis.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very interesting one. Because it talks about Palpatine's rise and a lot of things like that. And yeah, it was interesting how the Sith worked in the background.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have the Ewok fight. Meanwhile, Lando is up in space with the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
And they're like their plan is to attack the Death Star.
Right.
And Nine Nub in the co-pilot seat. It's like,
yeah, Ezra Bridger has like I just remember watching it for the first time, thinking like, how many layers does he have to his face?
I know, it's like it looks pretty cool. But maybe it's just because it's the last one of this series. But like, I do like the space battle a lot.
Yeah.
How they're kind of just like they're attacking the Death Star, and then they realize they have to turn around. And then they turn around and like the whole fleet is right there.
Right.
And you don't get a whole lot of the space battle, I feel like. Like it switches between that and then the Ewok thing. And then Luke and the Emperor.
Right.
Who just watch it for 20 minutes.
Right. Right.
And like, so you see like from a distance. But I did really enjoy it. It felt way more like intense than since I had just watched A New Hope. And then I watched this one. There was such a significant difference in like... how they fly, how everything looks, like the intensity of the dog fighting, if you will.
Yeah.
It's just like so much better in this movie than in A New Hope.
I agree. There's a lot of, I remember, you know, like the flying through explosions and, you know, like close, kind of like flying by like a camera, you know, or whatever. And yeah, there's just a lot of like really cool scenes from that. And the one thing that I thought about this time was, that when they're in the throne room, you can hear like the pops of the explosions. I thought, there's no sound in space.
Yeah. But you can hear that.
You can hear those.
Yeah. That was always, I always enjoyed like the switchback between the Vader and like, it's like so calm with Vader and Luke and the Emperor. Like there's like almost, it's just like almost no music. It's just, like calm. And then you go switch over to like Lando and or whoever, Red. Four or whoever's flying around, it's just like chaos.
Yeah. And then it's even more chaotic down on Endor, where like you have screeching tiny bears,
I think I talked to you about this before, but it was just like if you watch this and you watch Swiss Family Robinson, so many of the attacks are like the same.
Yeah
Which
and I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that George Lucas did that on purpose.
Yeah, I think so.
Just because I feel like when I think about the things that I've seen, you know, from him in interviews and the way that he talks about Star Wars being like a kid movie, like for kids, I feel like I don't know how old he would have been when Swiss Family Robinson came out, but I do think he probably was probably like around that age, you know, being a kid, you know, watching this movie. And I remember watching it like, oh man, that'd be so cool to live in that treehouse, you know, have all that stuff. And, you know, and then they do all the cool things to protect themselves whenever the pirates come. And it's like, so I feel like for him, I feel like that was very, and I can just imagine him being a kid watching it and saying like when he had this opportunity. And I think to be quite honest, I think that was just part of the reason for the Ewoks too, is that he wanted to have a scene that was very similar to something he saw in movies growing up.
It's really hard to know with George Lucas. Like, is he... He seems really immature at times. Like, especially you look in this movie, you think of the Ewoks, how they win, a little ridiculous. Just what they are is a little ridiculous. Like, if you would land on a planet, the Ewoks would be the last people or the last creature, last being you would want fighting alongside you, probably.
Sure.
Right? It'd be better to land on Kashyyyk or something like that.
Right.
Be more likely to win there.
Because even with one Chewbacca.
Right.
I mean, how do they end up winning with one Chewbacca?
Right, right. So, like, he seems really immature at times between the Ewoks, the Slave Leia outfit.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, this movie is for 12-year-old boys. Like, yeah. Obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But then, like, do we read too much into everything, or is he deep? Like, does he spend time thinking about, like, I come back so many times to that Dave Filoni Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, so deep. Mm-hmm. But to us watching it as when we were 12 years old, we're like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Four lightsaber blades, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like the coolest thing. Red, green, red, you know, it's just like, it's so cool. But like,
yeah.
Then he's putting all this thought into it, and he's got like the, you know, music with the whatever court, what do you call it, choir or whatever to make it like, you know, and it's just like, is he, do people watch the movie and then come up, they're like, come up with this other stuff? Or does he think about it beforehand and he's just like, oh, we're going to have these guys and they're going to lightsaber fight and, you know, it's going to be awesome. And
I think
Qui-Gon's going to die from something that nobody else dies from. He's going to be the only person that dies from a lightsaber stab.
Have you seen the guy that's like, that does deep fakes with Obi-Wan and, Qui-Gon like watching on a couch? Yeah. I saw him do that scene. Okay. That was pretty funny. No, I would. It's a good question. And I've often wondered that about anybody that's like any creator. Like, I think about this, you know, does John Williams really understand the reason why he did different, you know, musical compositions?
Right.
But when there's been a couple of times, like, to take that example, where you hear somebody who is really, really knows music well and knows what music composition is about and breaks it down and says that the celebration song that's being played on Naboo is the same as the Emperor's theme.
Right.
It's just kind of...
It's like sped up and higher pitched.
Right. Yeah. Like, okay. So he had to think of that. That just didn't happen by chance.
Right. Talk about John Williams.
John Williams. Right. And so I feel like when you look at some of these things, you realize that all this is kind of being created out of nothing. You know? And like, it's a story that's being developed. Now, some of it's probably intuition. I think, you know, there's God-given ability that people have to just intuitively understand, you know, these things. But I also think there needs to be some thought, because you are creating something new.
Right.
So I think, yes, he's like, yeah, I want this to be something that's fun for a 12-year-old boy. But also I think he wants it to be something that as you get older, like you and I, can sit down and realize there's a lot of life reflected in this. You know, the idea of the Jedi aren't innately good. The Force isn't innately good or bad. It just is. You know, I mean, I'm sure we could go back and forth on that. But like, the idea of balance, you know, like, there's a lot of like lessons to be learned beyond just like what is fun for a 12-year-old.
Right, right.
And it brings me back to those like Aesop's fables and things like that. Like, a very, again, I think Lucas was one of those people that kind of, maybe didn't study it, but he read them, you know, like he's kind of understood the history of storytelling. I think that some of that kind of plays into what he's putting together. Because I think, is it Kurosawa that he modeled
is that like
Star Wars after? It was,
like an old Western. Like there was like an old Western
that
I used to watch.
Well, I think it was Japanese Western or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never. That sounds right, but I don't know what they are.
So I think that. Yeah, I haven't either. I just, if I'm correct on that, I think that, again, he was just trying to. These are things that he appreciated growing up. And so he wanted to do it on his own.
Yeah.
While also being able to, as you digest it, as you think about it, realize that there are some important themes there to think about.
Like, I wonder if anybody was sitting around. Dave Filoni's like, oh, when you did this, did you want to do this and this and this? And George just be like, no, I just thought she would look good in that bikini. I don't know.
I think there is some of that,
right?
You know, but I it's hard for me to believe that there wasn't a reason that he did put a bunch of old white men as leaders of the empire.
Right, right.
I feel like we have a reason for doing something like that.
Right. And like the pitiful band that like and defeated them was made up of every single type of creature, you know what I mean? Not even like all the different types of humans, but also like things that you don't even know what they are.
Right.
You know, they were able to defeat the empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So close to the end, there's a part where they're like going this one rather than just shoot into the Death Star, they have to go into the Death Star.
Right.
And you get that scene with the Falcon flying like down the hallways with the TIE fighters.
Yeah.
Was there a game that we played that was like that on PlayStation or something?
Oh.
Because like it's so familiar to me. Like I remember like struggling over and over and over trying to get this Millennium Falcon through these like tight hallways. And anytime I see it like brings my mind back to that video game. It's like PTSD. It's like, you can do it. You can do it. This is the last try. I don't know
what
game
it would
have been.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the Triceratops stampede in Jurassic Park?
That was the end of the game. That was, I don't know if you know that, but that was the end of the game.
You just kept just running.
Like, yep.
Like life. Eventually get to credits.
You die there. And that's how the game ends. That was that game. We're talking about the Jurassic Park Game Boy game. And the Star Wars Game Boy game was just as bad.
It's just as hard. Oh, my goodness.
Like, you're in a speeder. You go around all these caves.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You never know if you were already in that cave or not.
Yep.
Like, they should have marked it somehow.
Yeah.
Like, with some marking saying that you already completed that one.
Right.
Like, you got to go find Han. And then you got to, like, you can get a lightsaber at some point. And, like, oh, my goodness. And if you turned off the Game Boy or the batteries died, that was it.
Right.
Yep. Try again like, later.
Did we ever get past the trash compactor?
I don't even know if I got there.
Oh, man.
I explored three caves like a dozen times. But yeah, so you have this like Falcon flying through. I'm sure it's from some video game we played, and it was just very difficult to get through that. But I always think about that. How would they make it through? And then they make it back out before it explodes.
Well, and I was thinking about that too. Like, they all go into this hallway that just everybody just barely fits in. And yet the TIE fighters never fire a shot.
Aren't they firing? No.
No.
Oh, like, really?
Half the scenes are just flying.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, they're like right in front of you, dude. Like, what are you waiting
for? Right. It's a pretty big ship like in a small.
Just spray.
You right. Know? Like, yeah.
Like, the space is pretty confined.
Right. I really like the ending of this movie. I felt like. As I do really like the sequel trilogy, don't feel like it was necessary for the like. I was happy with the ending of this movie.
Yeah,
it always somebody at work. I recently got to listen to the Red Rising, like read the Red Rising trilogy.
Yeah,
and he's like getting close to the end, and he's like, "Does this end? Like, does it end?" And I'm like, "It ends as much as Return of the Jedi ends."
Yeah,
like where it's like there was something bad, and they beat it. But we don't know how they're going to operate from here on.
Right.
But like you're celebrating the win is how you end the series.
Exactly.
And you don't really worry about the future at this point. Like I'm glad that they made the sequel trilogies, but I don't think I ever was like, oh, I want to see what happens after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
30 years later, especially.
Yeah.
But
I think I would agree that it did feel like a very good ending. Like it was a story where, you know, the two sides have been fighting for three movies now, you know, and it was that part of history has been resolved, you know, and you know, there's going to be more after. But I think that we could go on a long tangent on this, but what I think the sequels were really I was really excited for, because I was interested in seeing how the big four, you know, mm-hmm. Chewie, Han, Leia, and Luke,
right?
How did they create something in the from the ashes of the Empire?
Right.
You know, like they had all we had all this material, we had all this, you know, guessing of what it was going to be, and I think that that's ultimately my sadness with the sequels, is that George Lucas wasn't able to be a part of it, because I would have liked to see him be able to tell his whole story.
Right. Well, he said at some point that he had no plans to do anything after six.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that he didn't. I remember when Revenge of the Sith came out and he was asked if he felt like he was going to do the final three. Because I think at that point, people knew that there was three trilogies. I'm not sure how that came out or whatever. He said, well, I waited 20 years to do the sequel or the prequels. I wait another 20 years, I'll be 76 or whatever, you know, 86, or I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know if I'll have the energy to be able to do that. But I think I agree. It was a good ending. It felt like, okay, the issue had been resolved. Darth Vader was redeemed.
Right.
The idea of Force ghosts wasn't like this big controversial thing. You know, it just kind of was.
Right. Yeah.
But I did have a question about that.
Yeah.
Can only Force users see Force ghosts?
I guess so.
Because Leia came over to Luke at the end of the movie.
Right.
You know, kind of like grabbed him. And I mean, she's looking right in the same direction he is.
Right.
And he sees the Force ghost, but if she does, she doesn't seem surprised.
Right. Yeah. I guess, yeah. I'm not sure how that is. Maybe it's like, as a Force ghost, you can choose who sees you and who doesn't.
Yeah. So I watched it with Jordan and Maddie, and Maddie asked a question which I thought was interesting, was like, I'm trying to think how she said it. It was just kind of like, the assumption was that across the galaxy, everybody was happy that the Emperor was dead.
Right.
Which, you know, like you see on Coruscant, you see, you know, like
Naboo, they added that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just like, I just thought that was kind of an interesting thought, you know, around like, okay, word gets out that the Emperor's dead, which I'm not quite sure how that word got out.
Right. Right.
But
the only person that knew was Luke and Vader.
Right.
Vader died.
Right.
Luke updated his Facebook status. You just killed the Emperor. Yeah, that face when you just killed the Emperor.
That time when you just had your dad kill the Emperor to redeem himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of an interesting thought that, okay, the whole galaxy was universally happy that they were gone.
Yeah. I think the Empire was just very oppressive. I mean, that's how they make it seem. You don't know.
Right.
I don't think the Empire ever did any good for anybody. They just took resources and forced people to do what they wanted. So,
but then you have, I mean, but again, like, that's, I guess, what was interesting, because everything that's come after that, you know, like with the Mandalorian series, Boba Fett, and now Ahsoka, you have these people that are very much in alignment with what the Empire was doing.
Like,
they see, you know, like a lot of the value that the Empire said they were bringing, you know, like peace, justice, and, you know, stability to my Empire.
Your
new
Empire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like it's
and just, like, there are stormtroopers probably on every planet throughout the galaxy, and people are like, yeah, let's knock down the statue. Like, they would just be shooting those people.
Right, exactly. Like,
but yeah.
So
but if you have a rock that's kind of heavy, you could just knock out a stormtrooper.
It's true.
Yeah. Don't forget about the rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of again. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, the oppression is what has been talked about, but there's also like these there seems to be a pretty big faction of people that were not ready to let that go. So
I don't know what the time is between when the Death Star explodes. I mean, it just kind of like fades from the Death Star exploding into fireworks, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember right? Mm-hmm. And then like everybody's celebrating. But like they're all wearing different outfits and like, you know, Leia seems pretty at home there with the Ewoks. Like maybe they stayed there for a while right. or something.
Well, maybe that's where Luke trained her because they were in a big forested area whenever that's we see true. That scene.
Yeah. Speaking of forested areas, whose idea was it to send R2 there? Like, oh, you have wheels. We'll send you to a place covered in roots and rocks and trees. Like, the whole time I'm thinking, why is R2 there? And then at one point, he tries to operate a door or he tries, what does he do? He does something at some point. I'm like, okay, maybe that's why they brought R2. I'm like, that was the only reason why they brought him.
He could scan for life forms.
Okay.
And so, like, when Luke came back, he said, he made a noise. He spoke to C-3PO and C-3PO said that there's somebody coming.
Oh, okay.
But,
It was just kind of a weird place for him to be.
Yeah.
But they had to all be together. So right. that's why he was there.
But can I ask, was that the, in the speeder chase?
Yeah.
Was that the first time that a blaster bolt was deflected by a lightsaber?
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch Empire. I mean, definitely not in A New Hope.
Right.
Other than like the training probe.
Yeah, but it just kind of absorbs those.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
The reason I was asking is I was watching it this time and it was like,
he deflects them. He deflects them on the Dune Cease.
On the barge.
Yeah, on the barge. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
But I don't know if Empire, if they did any of that.
Because part of what I remember watching it in that particular scene made me think about it was like, it's like, oh, I remember watching this for like the first time and being like, also they can deflect blaster bolts mm-hmm. too. You know, like cause before, like I'm thinking about the only time that we've seen lightsabers being used is against another lightsaber.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting. I think the only time that you see, so lightsabers, as we know in the prequels and the sequels, they just cut through stuff like trees, humans, whatever. But in like, we had some revelation.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to say it.
Oh, probably not. But I was just thinking of like when Luke gets his lightsaber out in the sail barge scene, he's just like, batting people with it, like he's like swinging at people and they're like falling from like him
hitting right it. It's like hitting them in the right. arm and it's like
right
yeah not but, like, cutting the, through it.
The very first time you see it get used is in the cantina and he cuts off that, you know, arm. Pondo Baba's arm or whoever yeah. it is, and so you know it can cut through flesh, but like you don't really see it do that ever in this series. Like he cuts the end of the speeder off in this one.
Yeah.
But like it doesn't cut through people like hardly at all. He's just like swinging and it's like batting it and they just like fall. And well, I'm like, they should fall in two pieces. Like that should be.
Well, and the one, I thought you were going to say this too. It's the same thing in near the end when he's battling Vader and Vader falls and he's like, they're battling on that like
right.
walkway.
Yeah.
He hits the railing and it stops on the railing.
Oh, really? I thought he's hitting his lightsaber. No?
No, that's later on. It's oh. like, well, he's like,
okay.
A little bit crazy.
So it's a Beskar railing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they had one piece of the railing that's made out of Beskar.
You're going to want that there.
This is going to be integral for later.
We went 400% over on our railing budget. Does anybody know why? I went for up to Beskar in the Emperor's Chambers. You're going to want that there.
I just thought that was, you're right. There's not a consistency in the original trilogy about what lightsabers can and cannot cut through.
Right. Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
I forgot how much I enjoyed watching it. Like there's some movies, even the Star Wars ones where if, like, I'm going to watch one. It's much harder to convince me to watch Last Jedi, Attack of the Clones. Even Empire is not my favorite. I know it's a lot of people's favorites.
Yeah.
But there's something I like about the first and last in each trilogy. It's like, this is the beginning of this story. This is the end of that story. You know, like I like to see the beginnings. And so the middle is like not always my favorite. Yeah, I just did pick out each of the middle ones. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, I did pick. Yeah. So Empire Strikes Back has a lot of great points, but I'd probably watch Return of the Jedi over that one for sure.
Return of the Jedi was one that I always came back to because I knew that you're going to have a good combination of different types of action. Like that whole last 40 minutes of the movie is cutting between Luke and Lando and Han and team, you know, like, and they're all trying to do something different and it's all very compelling. And it's all very different too. Like like you said, it's like loud and noisy when they're like at one of the either Endor in space. And then you cut to the scene in the Emperor's room in the throne room. And it's like,
you can like hear like beeps like happening somewhere in the background. Right.
And it's like, you want this.
Right. Yeah. I can feel the way he like puts his hand over it. I'm like, oh my word. It's so creepy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. He does so good.
He does.
I can't. A creepy old guy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And then he like walks off with those creepy old people, you know, after he tells Vader to go to the
little
moon.
Advisors.
It's like, who are those people? You see them.
That's like the only time. I'm sure they have names, backstories. Like, there's like probably Wikipedia pages about them, you know.
I do feel like that was like, it's probably like Lucas's mom and her friend, or something like that. Where it's like, can we be in it? Yeah, sure. we'll give you this 10 second pay scene. Much.
You can make, we'll give you 10% of all the figurines that sell of that character. Yeah. Next time we get together, we'll talk about Luke's arc more in this story. And because I do think that's much different than the rest of them, much more internal. And I think he's a big reason why I like this movie more than the other ones, especially this Luke. Compared to A New Hope Luke, like, even Empire Luke bothers me. It's like, I'm going to go fight my Darth Vader. You know, it's just like, and you're just like, don't go.
Yeah.
Like, just don't go.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I do, not to, like, be a downer on Star Wars, I do wish that Rey's story would have followed Luke's a little bit closer. And I felt like there was going to be some parallels there, and they just mix it up just to not do the same story. But I always like to see, like, the parallels between the stories, even like down to like Luke in the first movie had a white outfit, in the second movie had a brown outfit, in the third movie had a dark outfit, and like shows his like progression. And then in the seventh movie, Rey had a white outfit, in the eighth movie she had a brown outfit, and then in the ninth movie she had a white outfit again. I'm like, why? Just put her in a dark outfit, and people be like, oh, it's like Luke's like progression,
right?
You know, he's like struggling with, you know, he's a little brown in the second one, he's innocent and he's white in the first one, he's brown in the second one because he's like, he's struggling, he's learning, he's like doesn't know what the dark side is compared to light side, and then in the third one he's like, he's fully committed, he's powerful, but like, what is he going to do with that power? Even like Anakin follows that in like the first movie on Tatooine, he's like, he's wearing white, in the second movie he's wearing mostly dark but some brown in the third one. He's like the only Jedi that wears all black.
He has that leather outfit.
So like, you did the pattern twice, just complete the pattern for a third time. Like,
well, and that's where I think that's where the ball was dropped, where that's what I meant earlier was saying, like, I wish Lucas would have felt like he could have done the sequel trilogy. I think unfortunately the reason that he didn't do it was because of the backlash that he received from the prequels.
Right.
Which, when you go back and look at them, are not as bad as they were made out to be.
Right.
Are they the greatest trilogy of all time? No.
Right.
But were they as bad as what we felt like they, you know, or made them out to be? Absolutely not. Yeah. You know, and
I don't mean to bash on any of them. I love them all.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you really like something, you can be critical of it and not, and still like it.
I guess, where I come from is like, okay, if like somebody comes out and says, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
The trilogy was written by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
And then he has, you know, a bunch of other books that he wrote. And then there's books that are written by his son based on manuscripts that,
okay,
you know, Tolkien left behind, you know, before he passed away. So, like, they can see his son, he's trying to do right by what was written here. But I have a hard time wholly believing, like, that it's exactly what J.R.R. Tolkien wanted to be there.
Right.
So I feel like the same thing is happening. Like, even with Dave Filoni, like, I feel like Dave Filoni is really trying to do his best to make Star Wars what George Lucas was hoping it would be.
Right.
You know, like, kind of long-term what its legacy would be. But I would still have liked to see Lucas do those final three.
Right.
Just because, like, he's the author of this story. He's the author of the Skywalker saga. And I would have loved to see how he would have finished his story. And I think it's, again, there's some things I liked that Abrams and Johnson did, but I have a hard time believing that it's even canon because it's not, I don't feel like it feels very much like they just did what
they wanted. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or at least.
I see what you're saying.
But I feel like with Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, they're really trying to, like, they're talking to Lucas. Like, they're asking him, like.
And they had experience with Lucas.
Yeah. And, like, so they're trying to really think through. And are they taking their own perspectives and applying it? Absolutely. But their basis is in, you know, what Lucas kind of taught them. Whereas I feel like with J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson, it was like, you can go in your own direction.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, any of them, even my least favorite, I would defend forever. So
I think
anybody who's listening for the first time, if you think, like, man, he's really negative about these movies, I'm like, no, I love the movies. But
yeah. No, and I actually was thinking it's been a while since I've watched, like, from start to finish. You know, like, and so I think I have some time off coming up where I might do. Trying to figure out if I'll do a Star Wars binge or a Marvel binge.
Again. You did a Marvel binge not that long ago.
Yeah, I know, but it's been a while now. Like, I haven't watched a Marvel movie in a long time.
Mm.
Like, with the OG Marvel.
Ah.
Not this new stuff that's
new fangled. These younglings.
Yeah. So no, I agree. I enjoy Star Wars. I think it's always a good story to come back to. It's something that you can bring your kids to, you know, without having much worry about what the content is going to be. Right. And it's just one of those good adventure movies and stories that can be hard to come by sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks, Matt, for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk soon about Luke's arc on this movie. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and be safe, be courteous. Bye.
See you later, alligator.